I'm sure we've all familiar with the life of David. David, of course, was one of the world's great men. Now, his family, of course, may not have thought much of him when he was at home attending the sheep, but God, which was the most important thing, had highly favored him. God had highly favored him, and he was but a youth, the Bible says, when God set him apart for a very special work. It's interesting to note concerning what it says at his anointing. It reads that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And so in God's sovereign plan, David would become the ruler of the nation. However, it was a very difficult road to the throne. He would have to go through much tribulation. David would have to go through much trial. He would have to encounter many perplexing circumstances. He would have to expose himself to many dangers. And certainly his faith would be tested. At one time, he even concluded that he would one day die by the hand of Saul. Remember, you could remember that cat and mouse game where Saul was continually after David. And so he went through many dark and perilous events, which on many of those occasions, he even had to resort to improper means to secure his own safety, just as it was the time when he faked it that he was a madman to escape even that king. Let's not forget also that David was human. Sometimes we look at these people, we think they were superhuman, but David was a man. He was a psalmist. He was certainly a great teacher, a leader, a warrior, a conqueror, a magician, a servant of God. He was certainly a mighty monarch, but never forget that David was a man as well. He was tempted like other men are. He went astray as men do. He disobeyed the Lord like men do. He suffered as men do, and he certainly despaired. He despaired just as men do. We can see this in our reading here this morning because it's illustrated this event. It was perhaps David's low in life, and he and his men had just returned from serving in the Philistine army to Ziklag. And when they reached the city, it empty inhabitants, and it was burned with fire. It was a heap of smoking ruins. It was their enemies, the Amalekites. The Amalekites had come in, and they had desolated the city. His very home was burnt. As he looked, his very home was burnt with fire. His family was gone, and he did not know what to make of it. The fate of his own family members were unknown. The same can be said of all his men. As all his men came to Ziklag, well, they had no homes to go to, no families. Their wives, their sons, their daughters, they were all gone. It was a terrible calamity, as you can just imagine what it must have been like. And they all sunk very low in the well of despair. They all wept with broken hearts. They all wept until they could not anymore. They lifted up their voice as they wept. The Bible says in our reading that there was no power left. And so you can just imagine what kind of a scene that must have been. How that 600 men of war, emotionally exhausted, not because of much warring, but because of their own weeping. They all wept with broken hearts. For David, matters got even worse because his own men turned against him. They threatened to kill him, and they were rising up against him in a turbulent fashion, and they were blaming him. They were pointing their fingers at David, and they were blaming him for all their misery. He had made bad decisions. He had made very bad decisions as a leader, serving in the Philistine army. Well, that was a very bad decision, serving there in that army. Leaving Ziklag unprotected, Well, that was a very bad decision. And I'm sure that he was blamed for provoking the Amalekites in the first place, because God never told him to attack the Amalekites. David just decided on his own to invade them. And remember that when David invaded the country of the Amalekites, well, he didn't leave any woman alive or any man alive when he invaded their territory, because we read in 1 Samuel 27 and verse number 9, 1 Samuel 27 and verse number 9, this is what took place there as David invaded the Amalekites. 1 Samuel 27, verse number 9, and David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Now, David made many bad mistakes. He made a mistake. God never told him to go and to invade the Amalekites here. And he also made the mistakes in not consulting the Lord in many of his campaigns. There was no prayers made, and he was blamed, and his own men were speaking of stoning him. And he became, we can call it, a very prey to his own men. It reads that David was greatly distressed. He was greatly distressed. This was not just some ordinary, everyday trial of some kind. He was very much in distress. It was extreme in nature. And David had gone through other trials in the past, but nothing like this trial here. Nothing like this trial. And besides, there was no one to console him. Jonathan, which was his friend, he wasn't around. He certainly couldn't contact his wives, because his wives were all taken there in the invasion. And really, we can say that he was brought to the end of himself. He was alone there, because his men also turned against him. And in considering his circumstances, he had a few options here. Who would not think of trying to find a way out in a situation of this nature? Well, he certainly could have fled, could have got on his horse and just run off, or he could have cast himself off. He could have committed suicide. He could have fallen on the sword because of his circumstances. And besides, I'm sure that he concluded that this was all of the Lord, that the Lord brought him into all these circumstances of trials. And he knew that these were not just accidents here in his life, things that were taking place. He knew that these were of the Lord himself. However, that did not hinder him in his decision, because he made another choice here, and this time he made the right choice. And what was that choice? And that is to encourage himself in the Lord. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And this morning, very simply, I just want to talk to you how David derived encouragement from the Lord. The first way he did was, he remembered the covenant that God had made with him. It says here, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Notice those two words there, his God. So his personal God. And he's looking at the Lord as his covenant God, the God of his salvation. And so David speaks of this covenant that God had made with him in 2 Samuel 23 and verse number 5. These are the words of David. It says, yet the Lord hath made an everlasting covenant with me. And so this is where he derived encouragement, you see, in that very covenant that God had made with him. That's where his confidence came, you see. In perhaps his darkest hour, he could find some encouragement. He could console himself in this very fact here. He had a place to go for refuge. And he had a place where he could find support during all his circumstances here. And it lifted him up as he laid hold here of the covenant of grace. And David, remember, had what we call a meditative heart. He would always talk to himself within his own heart. And as he meditated here upon the Lord, he could see that he was certainly assured. He was assured in this time of calamity, he was assured of God's mercies. God's mercies could not have, would never have left him. And the covenant was made with him, and that God's mercies would always be upon him. It was his way of remembering that God had accepted him, that God would not forsake him in the hour of trial. You see, there comes those moments, in our very lives, it may have come, maybe coming, but there are those moments in life where we're left alone. We're left alone as David experienced here. And where else will we ever be able to derive here encouragement? Where else can we go except for that very covenant? That covenant that God had made with us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it may not solve all our problems, but it is a sure ground for us not to despair in all that we will have to face, or perhaps what we're facing now, or may have to face even in the future. Oftentimes, we desire to see the Lord just simply come down in an extraordinary manner and just lift us up out of our circumstances. We just want to fly away, just like a bird. We just want the Lord to come, perhaps, and strengthen us, as he did with, he did many times with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was in despair. He was in prison. And yet the Bible says that the Lord appeared to him, and the Lord says, be of good cheer. You see, the Lord can do that. And the Lord can do to that to any one of us. And the Lord has done that often. But to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God, that's another matter altogether, because it involves effort from us. There's knowledge that we must have concerning the God to whom we serve. The Lord didn't say to David, be of good cheer, you're going to sit on the throne here of Israel. God never said that to him, to encourage him. David received no such word. It simply says here, he himself encouraged himself in the Lord. David himself encouraged himself in the Lord. It seems that there was an effort on his part. It seems that he would have had to have some knowledge of this covenant that God had made with him, that he would always be merciful to David. And the encouragement was always there, the covenant that God had made with him. But it was for David to reach out and take that covenant of grace that God made with him and use it here in his time of a calamity. It was in this view, of course, that he could call God his own personal God. And many times in Scripture, we have David, of course, speaking of God as his God. For example, in Psalm 30 and verse number 2. And so he was no stranger to God. David was no stranger to God, and neither are we. We're not strangers before God. Our only ground of acceptance with God is found on the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. That is where we find our help in time of need. We are reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and he hath made an everlasting covenant with us, the covenant of grace. And Christ is the mediator of this covenant, and he is our covenant head. And it reads there in Hebrews chapter 8, in Hebrews chapter 8, and verse number 6, it reads, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon the better promises. And so through the Lord Jesus Christ, through him, we're able to call God our God. He is our personal God, or my God, because Christ, he fulfilled all the conditions of the covenant for me. And so therefore now we can plead every promise before God. Every promise in this book, in the book of God, is ours, and it's ours to claim. And I can rely upon them as my grounds of hope. Like David, I am certain of God's love. I am certain of God's help. I am certain of God's favor. And David was well acquainted with the covenant that God had made with him. And it was his method. This is what he used. This is what is used to derive encouragement in the Lord. He simply lay hold of that covenant, and that strengthened him. And so he knew that God would not have abandoned him, even at this time of tremendous distress, and neither would God withdraw his grace. It says here that the Lord hath made an everlasting covenant with me. And God, who cannot lie, certainly kept his word there to David. God's word cannot fail at any point. And so, hey, David encouraged himself here in the Lord. David says, this is all my salvation, except in this I have no more help than the fallen angels. This is my way of encouraging myself in the Lord. Now, there's another place where David derived encouragement, and that is in his privilege of inquiring. In his privilege of inquiring, he encouraged himself there, because it reads in verse number seven, and David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David, and David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And so he inquired. I want to know, he's telling the Lord what I have to do. He inquired of the Lord what to do next. All of a sudden, he finds himself in trouble, and now he's inquiring of the Lord. He should have did that in the beginning, before attacking the Amalekites. And so it was an unspeakable privilege for him, considering his circumstances, and he waited upon God and inquired, as he so often did. He had that very privilege of inquiring there of the Lord. We read, for example, at another time in 1 Samuel 23, verses 1 and 2. 1 Samuel 23, verse 1 and 2. Then they told him, David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against the Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And so he had this tremendous privilege. He was able to encourage himself in this privilege that he had. He had this high priest with him, and this method, this ephod, where he could consult in all his affairs. He could. He had, we can say, like this direct line to the Lord what to do next. And the ephod was considered of great value, especially in these times of crisis, in these times of difficulty. And in 1 Samuel 23, when David needed to know in advance if he would be betrayed, even if he would be betrayed. Well, he had Abiathar the high priest consult God by means of this very ephod. And so he had this privilege, he had this way in which he could inquire of the Lord. And it was his right to use it to entreat the Lord. It was his access, we can call his access of prayer. We, of course, in the gospel, we're taught very clearly to ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We, of course, have that tremendous privilege, and it's certainly an encouragement to us, because we too can go to the Lord and inquire. We read, for example, in John 14 and verse number 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And so this is our encouragement. David had the ephod. He was able to inquire of the Lord. We as well have this method and this way of knowing the very mind of the Lord. And so David had Abiathar the high priest with him. And we, of course, have the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ's presence with us. We can always meet in his name. He secured our access to God, our entrance into the most holy place. And in our time of need, we can come to the throne of grace and present our petition. We ourselves, just like David, can inquire of the Lord. And in truth, if this hope were not held out to us, it would be really in vain to approach God. If we did not have this this method here through Christ, how could we ever approach the living God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ? And so it would be vain for us. But we are sure that he does hear us. We are sure that in doubtful and perplexing circumstances, well, the Lord's going to hear us and the Lord will help us. And the Lord will say, this is the way, walk ye in it. In David's case, he asked the Lord, shall I pursue after this troop? He wanted to know, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overcome them? And the Lord answered that very prayer. And the Lord said, go pursue, thou shalt surely overtake and without fail recover all. You see this great encouragement that David had, the ephod, a means of prayer where he could know the very mind of the Lord. He needed to know. He needed an answer. He expected an answer. He humbled himself and sought the Lord with a contrite heart. And on another occasion, he was so sure of an answer that he states, as for me, he says here, this is his witness here, as for me, I will call upon God. I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. And he was strong in his declaration that he would receive blessing from the hand of the Lord. And thousands of people of God's people can attest to the fact that God does answer prayer. And many times we have gone to the throne of grace. We've gone very weak. We've gone doubting. We've gone dejected and downcast. Yet we lay our burdens there at the feet of Jesus. And then we come away with joy and we come away with peace. And we have that privilege in calling upon the Lord. We can encourage ourselves in that, and we don't come as strangers, but we come as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And therefore, he will draw nigh to us, because the Lord says that if we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. And so let us put away all doubting. Let us put away all wavering from our minds, and let us believe God. Let us believe what God has said here in his word. And so David derived encouragement here in the place of prayer. Now there's another place where David encouraged himself, and that is he encouraged himself as he served the Lord. Why I say that is because after he prayed, he pursued and continued to serve the Lord. Didn't stop in zigzag, didn't give up in serving the Lord, but he pursued. He knew the mind of the Lord. In verse 8, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake. And he succeeded. He succeeded in inspiring his men with courage to pursue their enemy with a promise that, yes, he would recover all. And he went on with this appointed work with God's blessing. However, his pursuit was not without difficulty, because you have 200 of his men, they wouldn't go anymore with him. And so he continued himself with these 400 men, but he continued to pursue and to serve the Lord. And so he was determined to continue in God's service. and with the exception to recover, the expectation to recover all that he went for, he went forth with the spirit of hope and also joy. David said in Psalm 100, verse 2, his own words, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. And yes, even in time of pandemic, we can serve the Lord with gladness. Don't serve the Lord with resentment. There are those who that it's not going to get you anywhere. There's no church problem should hinder us from serving the Lord. You should never allow that. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's what David says. In other words, do it cheerfully. Do it cheerfully. In everything, give thanks. And besides, God does give grace. God does give grace. And there will be times of refreshing. And we will be endued with power from on high to serve. You see, the Lord does give power to his people. And there is strength promised to them. And it says here, ye shall recover all. This is what the Lord said here to David. From many of the Psalms, we can truly sense how David delighted himself in the service of the Lord. We have in Psalm 27, I'll just read it to you, Psalm 27 and verse number 14. It reads in Psalm 27, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so David, you see, he delighted in all services and he esteems a day in God's courts better than a thousand. And he was truly a man after God's own heart, a man dedicated to the very service of the Lord. At times we tend to get discouraged ourselves in the work of God. Sometimes we get discouraged because, well, there's not too many people attending, or perhaps, well, we're not seeing revival, or there's no being saved. We're saying, well, there's really no movement of God. And yet we often forget that God is always glorified when the Lord Jesus Christ is preached. It's not always about souls. It's not always about revival. Jesus Christ is preached, God is glorified. And every time we present the gospel and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, God is honored. And whether there be 10 people or 1,000 people, God is honored. Now, don't get me wrong. We do desire results. We do get encouraged when there is the moving of God in the church. We must expect it. That's something, of course, it would be something wrong if we didn't desire that. But results should not be the only means of our encouragement. It's not only about the results. In the Lord's work, there is the privilege of making known the Savior. Only means salvation. God is always glorified when Christ is preached. Paul, he says, to me who am the least, then the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And seeing, therefore, it is a grace given. It's a grace given. Let us serve the Lord with perseverance. And of course, with a gladness and joy of heart. Let me conclude this morning by saying that David, we can say, is truly a picture of a Christian. David's a picture here of a Christian. A Christian like David may go through some very dark valleys, and some have, even in this time of pandemic. And whether these trials are felt or feared, it can very easily distress the soul. Very easily we can be distressed. But like David, we have a great God. We have a covenant-keeping God. And as David learned to find his comfort in the covenant of grace, and also the privilege of his prayer, and also the continuing to serve the Lord, well, let us do the same. Let us do the same like David did here. You look at Paul, he endured great bodily trials, yet none of them could move him. And all these trials that he went through, nothing would move the Apostle Paul. In fact, he was joyful, the Bible says, in all his tribulations. Now, why is that? Why is that? Well, because he had a view of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a view of Christ, and instantly it turned his mourning into thanksgiving. May the Lord encourage us in these days of pandemic, and may the Lord truly bless his word, and may we never be discouraged, because the Lord has said that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, we do rejoice over the word of God. We thank thee that we have a great word indeed. We thank thee that it is the word of the living God. And our Father, we pray that thou would encourage us in these very discouraging days. And our Father, we pray that we would truly be able to walk in this world with our heads up high. Why? Because of our covenant-keeping God. We have a great God, and a God who's over this pandemic, a God who said that he will do all things even for us. And our Father, we pray now that thou would dismiss us in thy blessing, and keep us this day even in the hollow of thy hand, and allow us to see the blessings that abound in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with another hymn, hymn number 214. This will be our closing hymn, 214.